I know a favorite of many of you this morning. And I think it's an appropriate way to begin the Lenten season. I was saying to someone this morning, I can't believe it's Lent already. It just seems like we threw the Christmas wrapping paper away and the Valentine's Day candy. But here we are, already in Lent, already on this journey to the cross and to the empty tomb, whether we are ready for it or not. It's good that we have Lent, and it's good that it's so long. It's 6 weeks long, you know. And I know that there are a lot of traditions that people have about how to observe Lent. A lot of folks, as you know, choose to give up something, like chocolate or caffeine or those kinds of things. You can ask Jessica sometime about the Lent that she gave up coffee. It was not pretty. It was not comfortable for me either. A lot of folks choose to give things up. And a lot of folks choose to take this Lenten thing and turn it into a compact 6 week New Year's resolution. That they're going to try to improve their life in some way. That they're going to do things better or they're going to do things differently. That somehow Lent is going to be this wonderful thing. And if that is your situation, I encourage you to do so. It is meaningful for many people to give up something. But as a church, I'd like for us to celebrate Lent together in this way. Not to give up something, but to take up something. To take up together the task of prayer. The work of prayer together. For the next 6 weeks, as we travel on this Lenten journey, we will be taking a look at what it means to pray. And the hope is that by the end of this time, we will together as a church have a better sense of what it means to talk to God as a church and how more meaningful it can be for you to pray in your own individual lives. You know that last Lent we did a spiritual gifts campaign. This Lent we're going to focus on one of the great gifts that God has given to us, the gift of prayer. If you feel like you can't pray, or you don't know how to pray, or what it's like to pray, please travel this journey with us. Because we're going to talk about it, we're going to read the scriptures, and we're going to learn together what it's like to pray. Can I start off with a story? It's a story about a man who needed a job. And he approached one day a lumber yard that was hiring some employees. And he went to the foreman and said, I need to work here because I need a job. And the foreman said, well, can you handle an axe? Do you know how to cut down trees? And the guy said, yeah, I'm very good at it. The foreman said, let me see, and handed him this bright, shiny, sharp axe. And the guy took that axe and with a couple quick swings to a tree, felled that tree down to the ground. It was very, very impressive. And the foreman's jaw dropped. Said, I've never seen anybody chop a tree down as quickly as you. You can start Monday. The guy was very happy. He had a job. So he showed up at work on Monday, showed up a little early before everybody else, and started chopping down the trees. And he even worked through his coffee break, and he worked through his lunch break, and he even stayed after a little longer after everybody else had gone and left the lumber yard. He was looking forward to Friday because Friday was payday and he had desperately needed that money for a long, long time. So Monday passed by and Tuesday passed by and Wednesday passed by and then came Thursday. He worked long and hard and was looking forward to his payday tomorrow. The foreman came up to him and he said, well, how are you doing? The guy said, I'm doing well. Chopped down a whole bunch of trees, but looking forward to tomorrow for payday. And the foreman said, well, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but I'm going to have to let you go. You can pick up your paycheck now and don't come back tomorrow. The guy said, wait, I don't understand. I've been working so hard. I show up before everybody else. I work through my coffee breaks and my lunch breaks, and I am the last one to leave. And I've been doing this for 4 days straight, and now you're letting me go. I just don't understand. The form and said, well, I know that you've been trying really, really hard, but for some reason, on Monday when you first started, you chopped down the most trees. But then the next day, you dropped down to fourth or fifth place. And now, your production is dead last among everybody else in my crew. I can't have that kind of low productivity in any of my employees. I'm going to have to let you go. The guy said, I don't understand. I have been trying so hard. How could I be achieving so little? And the foreman said, well, young man, have you been taking some time to sharpen your axe? The guy said, no, I haven't. What happens when we don't take time to sharpen our axe? What happens is that we wind up working harder and harder, striving and trying harder to do things in our lives, to repair broken relationships, to achieve success, to do all those things that we need to do. But if we don't sharpen the axe of prayer, all of that winds up for naught. Prayer is the axe, the tool of the Christian life. What would it be like if at the next FSU baseball game we went over to watch the team play and instead of baseball bats they were using pencils? Or what would happen if you turned on the television and watched the Indianapolis 500 and instead of using race cars, one of the racers was using a skateboard? What would it be like if you tried to bake a cake without flour? What would it be like if you tried to live the Christian life without prayer? It would be like a lumberyard person trying to work with a dull axe. Perhaps there are some of you this morning who are in absolute bewilderment as to why your life is the way it is. Because you are trying so hard to make ends meet, but all you are getting is more frustration, more broken relationships, more crossing the lines, more disintegration of your life, and you're wondering why. Despite all of your efforts and all of your trying, things just aren't working out, and you feel more alone from God, and that God is more distant from you than ever before. The key is that you haven't taken time to sharpen your spiritual axe. Perhaps you're not praying enough. And that's what Lent will be for us this spring. Together, every Sunday for the next 6 Sundays, we're going to sharpen our axes. We're going to learn how to pray. We're going to see what the Bible has to say about prayer. And fortunately, we're not alone on this journey. Just as you wouldn't walk a journey without a map, and you wouldn't walk by a dark alley without some light, I think God has given us two signposts, two lampposts to kind of guide us on our journey together. The first signpost is the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that we all know. It is a prayer that was given to Jesus' disciples by Jesus himself. When the disciples asked Jesus, how do you pray, Jesus? And Jesus said, the Lord's Prayer. It's a wonderful model for our prayer. And so every week, for the next 6 weeks, we will be taking a small part of that Lord's Prayer and unpacking it and learning what it means, what it suggests for us in our prayer life. The second signpost is maybe a little unexpected. It is the names for Jesus. You know that Jesus called himself a lot of things in the Scriptures. He called himself the Son of God. He called himself the Light of the World. He called himself the Great I Am. But he called himself a whole bunch of other things. And those names that are given to us for Jesus are going to be very important for us to discover how to pray. Because it is through Jesus' name that we pray. As Hebrews says, Jesus is our high priest. If we want to get to the throne of God, we've got to pass through Jesus. It is through Jesus that we come to God in prayer. God is always attentive and listening to us, but through Jesus Christ we can come and talk to God. And so what better way to learn how to pray than to get to know who we're praying through and praying to? We're going to discover some about Jesus Christ and the names that the Scriptures give for Him. I mean, take, for example, the example for today. The example for today is that Jesus calls Himself the what? The bread of life. And thanks to Phil and Betty and their wonderful rendition of this little conversation around a dining room table one day, we learn that bread is vitally important to our lives, not just because without it we can't make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but because without bread we can't live. And the Jews knew it. The Israelites knew that bread was vitally important to their existence, not just to survive, but to worship. Did you know that in order for them to worship God in the temple, they had to sacrifice 12 loaves of bread? Did you know that when they were wandering lost in the wilderness, not knowing how they were going to survive, God gave them bread from heaven in the form of manna? Did you know that when the Israelites, when the Jewish people were starving on a hillside one day, 5,000 people, not knowing where their next meal would come from, that Jesus fed them with bread? For the people in the Scriptures, bread was the most important sign for God, because bread was the staple food of life. It signified the very presence of God with them, the very care and nurture and provision that God gave them in the most unexpected times. When the Jews saw a loaf of bread, they thought of God. And so Jesus called Himself the bread of life, the only bread that we need, the very staple food for our spiritual soul, the very sign that God is with us, God provides for us, and we are never, never alone. Jesus is our bread of life. I mean, can you think about Jesus and see a loaf of bread? When you think about Jesus, do you see a loaf of bread? I don't, but that's what the Scriptures do. Because the Scriptures recognize that Jesus provides our every need. And so what phrase does that echo in our Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Because the Lord's Prayer teaches us and reminds us that there is only one person who can provide our every need. There is only one hand that is generous enough, one heart that is big enough, one mind that knows enough what we need to give us our daily bread, our every essential piece of existence. It is God. Now perhaps there are some of you who are thinking and wondering to yourself that maybe you are responsible for everything that you have. That maybe through your own efforts and through the toil of your own hands and the work of your own fingers, you have provided the food on your table and the clothing on your back and the shelter over your head, that you are the one who has been putting bread on your table. You need to remember that's not what prayer is about. Prayer is acknowledging that God has given you everything that you need. And if there is any notion within you this morning that what you have is because of what you have done, you need to learn how to pray the Lord's Prayer. The Jews believed that bread was so sacred, that it was so important, that they tried to protect their bread from every evil contaminant that might touch it. And what was the most evil contaminant that could touch bread? Do you know? It was yeast. It was yeast. All of their bread was yeastless, because they believed that if yeast was in their bread, that it would fill it up with air. It would inflate it with emptiness. It would make it rise. It would make it completely air-filled and puffed up. And that was a no-no. In our prayer life, there is a deadly yeast. There is a yeast that can penetrate our prayer life and fill us up. And that yeast is called pride. It is prideful to say to God that I have what I have because of what I have done. And all that I have achieved in my life comes because of my achievements. Pride fills us with arrogance and selfishness, and it puffs us up. It inflates us into thinking that we are something that we are not. And pride is the antithesis of a grateful heart. The first thing we need to learn and how to pray is how to be humble and how to be grateful for what God has given to us. Brothers and sisters, if there is pride in your heart, pride in your prayers, then you need to begin again to learn how to pray from a humble heart, to thank God for everything that you have. And so from the Lord's Prayer and the names for Jesus, we get a model for prayer that I invite you to practice this week together, all of us together in our homes and in our private times of prayer. Let us learn how to thank God with a humble heart for all that we have. All that we need is given to us every day, and it is a sin not to thank God for those blessings. And so maybe this week you need to remind yourself of all of the daily bread that you have been given every day, those blessings that God has given you that you take for granted, and those blessings that you have that you think you have given for yourself. That is not what it is to pray. To pray means to give thanks with a humble heart for what God has given to you. One thing that we will do over the next several weeks is have some time at the altar to pray. And after the sermon every Sunday until Easter, I will conclude the sermon with a prayer, and then without saying anything, I will invite you all, whoever is comfortable to do so, to come and spend time at the altar rail. And I invite you to use this time to confront God naked and raw, without any of your pretensions, any of your masks, to simply pray to God and talk to God in the way that Jesus shows us. For it is God who has given you your every need. And this morning, perhaps you will come to the altar rail and pray with a thankful and humble heart for all of your blessings. But maybe there are other things that you can be praying for in your life. That is between you and God. And in this prayer time, I will invite you to come forward and pray. Henry Nouwen has given us a wonderful prayer to help us begin the Lenten journey. And it is found on the reverse side of one of your bulletin inserts. On one side of the insert is a map, kind of a sketch of where we'll be going for the next 6 weeks. It'll show you the scripture reading for that Sunday, and it'll show you the name for Jesus that we'll talk about, and it'll show you the part of the Lord's Prayer that we'll be talking about, and then the model for prayer that we'll have together. But on the back side, I would like to read for you this prayer and ask that you bow your heads now as we prepare ourselves to go to God and to go to the altar in prayer together. Let us bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, tomorrow the Lenten season begins. It is a time to be with you in a special way, a time to pray, to fast, and thus to follow you on your way to Jerusalem, to Golgotha, and to the final victory over death. I am still so divided. I truly want to follow you, but I also want to follow my own desires and lend an ear to the voices that speak about prestige and success and human respect and pleasure and power and influence. Help me to become deaf to those voices and more attentive to your voice, which calls me to choose the narrow road to life. I know that Lent is going to be a very hard time for me. The choice for your way has to be made every moment of my life. I have to choose thoughts that are your thoughts, words that are your words, and actions that are your actions. There are no times or places without choices, and I know how deeply I resist choosing you. Please, Lord, be with me at every moment and in every place. Give me the strength and the courage to to live this season faithfully, so that when Easter comes, I will be able to taste with joy the new life which you have prepared for me. Amen. The altar rail is open for us.